Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the ninth day of Tevet. Let's thank the OU, Rabbi Jacob Bromwitz, and David Hochhauser for their help in making this year available online. Today we're going to start with the Tzitz Eliezer, Shu Tzitz Eliezer, the 12th volume, responsible number 35, Lamed Hey, dated the ninth day of Tevet of Tav Shin Lamed Hey of 1974-75. The basis of the tshuva, which will take us to important broad issues of borer and Hilchos Shabbos questions in terms of borer. The halacha of borer in food for sure is that we are not allowed when we're eating food is a whole question, but our topic won't really deal with that. But with food, it's not allowed to take the psolet out of the ochel. If you have a bunch of food in front of you and there's the stuff you don't want and the stuff you do want and they're mixed together, you can't take the stuff you don't want out and throw it away. That's the issur of borer in very brief terms. Question that arose for this topic in 1974-75 on the 9th of Tevet for the Tzitz Eliezer was, let's say you have a shul that reads the Haftarah from a scroll. There are shuls in many shuls in Eretz Yisrael, and there are some shuls in America, but fewer, that even the Haftarah they'll read from an actual written scroll, which means there's no notes in it. It means you have to have a Baal Kriya do it. But the question that arose was, let's suppose that you're going to find your book of Navi and it's in some kind of a container, a drawer. Often it's in a container under the Aron, and when you reach in, you have to reach through, meaning you don't know exactly which scroll it is you're going to be looking, you know what you're looking for, but you don't prepare it ahead of Shabbat, and therefore you have to rummage through the scrolls in that grouping to find the right one. So what will happen is you'll take out a book of Navi, you'll look inside, you'll see it's the wrong one, you'll put it back inside. So there was a certain Rav, who's not named, but the Tzitz Eliezer characterizes him as a Chazran b'mitzvot. Now, Chazran b'mitzvot theoretically and literally means who cares very much about finding mitzvot to do. That sounds like it should be a compliment, but it's not meant as a compliment here. What it means here is that he's somebody who's always so much looking for problems, so much looking for issues, that he finds them. So this Rav, meaning I think that Tzitz Eliezer is trying to say that the characteristic he thinks of himself as being religiously assiduous, and this is saying he's not being assiduous, he's creating problems for no good reason. So this Rav Ta'an Shezeh Borer, he says that's a problem of Borer, that you have to prepare the Haftorah Torah scroll, from Erev Shabbat, so that when you go to it on Shabbat, you don't have to do Borer. Now that's a tircha for people. Why is that a tircha for people? Because somebody has to come Erev Shabbat at some time on Friday or whenever, there has to be somebody who comes, and in shuls, if anybody who frequents shuls knows that any new job that has to come up involves somebody coming and doing it, and that's an issue. But more than that, even, let's say that this shul listens to this rabbi and they start doing this. Then people will come visit and they'll see, or people will move out of the community from that shul, unless the other shuls that don't bother doing that, and they just leave their Torah, their Navi scrolls in a jumble, and when they need to go find one, they go find one. So that's going to create a situation where people will begin to look down on those people, and that's also a problem. That's a reminder that when one group of people observes halacha in a way that they think of as more assiduously, they to some extent cast aspersions on the halachic observance of other people, and that can be a problem. So there are times when it's appropriate, it's not that they're casting aspersions, the implicit casting aspersions isn't a big deal because they're doing something that's important and valuable. But when there's no value to what they're doing, so therefore the student says, I didn't originally answer the question at all because I don't think there's any issue here whatsoever. But since it's continued to be an issue, I want to explain my position. So the first step is, he says, if you look in Chazal, you look in the Rambam, you look in the Tur, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, meaning you look at the whole history of halacha up until the late 1500s, what you'll find is that the whole idea of borer applies to food. It only applies to food. So if it's not food, it's not a borer issue. Then, all of a sudden, in the time of the Taz and those who follow the Taz, they come to believe that it expands beyond it. In Simon Shin Yotet, in paragraph chapter 319 of Orach Chaim, Seif Katan Yud Bet, the Taz writes in paragraph 12 of his commentary on that, that everywhere where we talk about borer, they talk about as a matter of food. That's what you see in the general halachic discussion of Bovir issues. But if you look in the Gemara, says the Taz, there's a case in the Gemara where Rava says if somebody makes a barrel or a jug or a jar or a container on Shabbos, there are and doesn't realize that it's Shabbos, or doesn't realize that these things are prohibited, he's violated seven prohibitions that would involve a Korban Chatat. So when Rashi wants to, and the Gemara doesn't list what those seven are, when Rashi's listing the seven, Rashi includes a Borer problem. The Borer problem there is that when you're making the barrel, you're making it out of clay in this particular situation, you're taking the big pieces away from the small pieces, you're taking out the big pieces and throwing them away, but there's a Borer there. That's what the Taz says. And in the course of that discussion, when he's giving you an example of other ideas of Borer, he says, like, let's say you're going to be Borer a clay. You're going to take one pot out of a group of pots, and he gives that example of Borer. So almost everybody who follows the Taz says, you see that the Taz was very clear and very sure that Borer applies not just to food, but to things other than food. And once we're going to say that it applies to kelim, to pots, to pans, to tools, to vessels, to whatever it is it's going to apply to, then it would seem like it would apply to clothing. And then there are people who paskin that way. Meaning, that'll become an issue to talk about, and we'll get to it. But let's say you have a bunch of clothing in a closet, and you have to push aside clothing in the closet to get to other clothing. Is that a Borer problem? You're pushing aside the stuff you don't want to get to the stuff you do want. It's very clear in halacha, in terms of the halachas of Borer and Ochlim in food, that certainly if you have food in a mixture, and they're both food, and they're both fine, but you want one and not the other. You want the peaches, not the nectarines, and they're all really mixed together. Those might be big enough that you don't have to worry about it, but let's assume, or, you know, there are blackberries and raspberries, and you very much like the blackberries, but other people like the raspberries. Nonetheless, for you, in that Borer problem, the raspberries would be considered psoled. So the fact that this clothing is good clothing, and push it aside, if Borer applies to clothing, that'll be a whole issue. So that's what people get it from. So the first important point the Taz is making is this: it starts with the Taz as an explicit matter, and then the Prima Gadim, who's a commentary on both the Taz and other commentaries, but he's a super commentary, he's a commentary on commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch, he added a proof that Borer should apply outside of just food from the Samanim that were in the Mishkan. That when you wanted to dye materials, as they did in the time of the Mishkan, so there are Borer issues there, and those are not food issues either. So that would suggest that there's Borer that applies to non-food issues. So step number one is, we do or don't have Borer when it applies to non-food issues. There's some reason to say that we do. There's a Taz, and there's people who have accepted the Taz, and there's Prima Gadim, and that suggests that we do. Now, the Ma'ari Ayash, in a sefer called Mate Yehuda, an important sefer, he wrote to disagree with this idea. He says the reason that the Gemara talks about in the making of a barrel or a container that the getting rid of the large chunks or the smaller chunks, I'm just not sure which, but the getting rid of the chunks, and that's considered Borer. So the Ma'ari Ayas and the Mate Yehuda said that was different because that was in a case of Psolet Gamur. That stuff was completely unusable. So the Ma'ari Ayash is conceding that maybe there is Borer when it comes to non-food issues. But when it comes to non-food issues, the Borer should be when there's garbage mixed in with something else. So this thing is completely unusable. We have two kinds of pots, right? I have milk pots and fleshy pots, and I'm looking for a pot to pour food into. I have silverware is going to be a good example, right? And I want knives. I want a fork right now, and I have a jumble of silverware. So I'm going to pick up a thing, realize that it's a knife, and put it aside. So the Maria says that's not Berera, because each kli, each thing, first of all, stands on its own. They're not really mixed together. That's another important issue, the question of mixture, right? You have, let's say, a kugel, and within the kugel, I don't know if a kugel is a souffle, is probably better. Let's say there's a broccoli souffle, and I like the souffle stuff, but not the broccoli stuff. So I'm going to pick out the broccoli. I'm going to pick out the onions. Somebody put onions into the souffle. I'd like to think that you make souffle with sometimes with onions. Somebody, and I'm going to pick out the onions in the souffle, or in a salad would be a better example. So then they're really mixed together. And I'm putting aside stuff that I don't want. So with ochel, with food, that's a problem. Watermelon pits from the watermelon is another example. That's a problem. But in Caleb, he's saying, in silverware, in pots and pans, everyone really has its own independent existence, and it's not the same thing as two kinds of food. A similar idea. So that's the Ma'ari Ayash, who concedes, accepts the Taz's claim that there are ways in which Borer can apply beyond foods, but limits that to where the material that's a problem is stuff that we completely don't want, something that's completely garbage, not just that we don't happen to want it right now. Then he points out there's an Ores Sameach. The Ores Sameach was written by Rav Meir Simcha HaKohen of Dvinsk, who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, passed away, I think, like 1918 or somewhere in the 1920s, maybe 1926, or somewhere in the early 1900s. So the Ores Sameach is his commentary on the Rambam. He's also known as the Meshech Chachma for a book he wrote on the Torah. He writes in the Ores Sameach, that the Borer Gidro, the definition of borer is davar habalul biyachad u'mishtamesh kishu balul. It has to be an item which is mixed together, let's say a salad, and is used that way. It's used when it's mixed together. So, and according to that, it says it's to the Ezer, when you're taking, you know, a knives out of forks, a forks out of knives, so that's not a mixture of the kind the Or Sameach understood to be a mixture or more borer applied, because you would never use them mixed together. Now, the Taz doesn't seem to agree. So I think we're still quoting the Or Sameach. He says, the Taz wrote, whatever, but in the Taz's case, it could be that you could use them when they were still mixed together, and that's what the Taz was talking about, right? Let's say the barrel making case. Maybe there's the words that have been a way to ignore those large chunks. They're not usable on their own in any way whatsoever, but you could ignore them, made the container anyway. Just would have had chunks in place that you didn't want it to be, but you could have theoretically used them together. But then the Taz had mentioned, as we've mentioned before, has said before, that there was also an idea about kelim in general being borer, and then the Or Sameach says, so other people bring that applies to borer to kelim, and that's a mistake. Because borer requires, the Or Sameach still talking, borer requires that they be mixed together and they be used mixed together before, and you want to decide to take them out. Lamanu, now that Tzilezer says, so you learn from the Or Sameach, and then he throws in, Kisifte Kohen Yishmeru Dat, that's a pasuk in Tanakh, that Kohanim, their lips tell us proper knowledge, and he's saying that as a compliment to the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach is teaching us an important principle that he agrees with the Matei Yehuda, that you can't have borer in anything. Certainly not, and you can't have it in pots and pans, you can't have it in clothing, because you never use them jumbled together. And the only time you can have borer is you have items that you can use jumbled together, and then you choose not to use them, and you take something out of them. So it might be that in kelim, in non-food items, that thing you're going to take out has to be completely unusable. But aside from that, if it's not usable together, so the Or Sameach agrees with Matei Yehuda that you couldn't possibly have a borer issue there. So where did this rabbi who was raising problems for the shul get his ideas from? As it says, he got it from Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Tet, and in Sif Katan Yud Dalet, paragraph 14, the Mishnah Berurah's comments on that chapter, made a comment that seemed to say that it applies to Kalim, and yet this is, I don't think the Mishnah Berurah, first of all, ruled on this issue in nearly as certainly or authoritatively as the Rav was claiming. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah there in the continuation says that it could be that if you have a bunch of clothing hanging on a wall and you're looking for your garment, and by virtue of doing that you have to move aside other garments, that's not borer. Now that example, I think that example is where it would be, let's say you have a coat rack, not on hangers, because that might help you make it not less of a borer problem, because they're not even mixed together because they each other are a separate hanger. But let's say you have a bunch of hooks on a wooden plank on a wall, and you'll hang your coats, people hang all their coats on the hooks, but and the hooks will be alternating so that you can make more room for more coats, but you have to push aside coats to get yours. So that seems to be the kind of case that the Mishnah was talking about. The Mishnah was saying that's not borer. Now there, and I have to say, those might really not be mixed together because they're each on their own separate hook. And that, theoretically, for the Rav, who was arguing that the Navi scrolls could be borer, he might have counted that that's not, that the reason the Mishnah Berurah allows that is because that's not at all, they're not even mixed. Right? It looks like they're mixed, so you have to push aside one to get to the other. But then you're going to have to argue, and this is we'll get to it, you have to argue that when it comes to the Navi scrolls, that there they do count as mixed because they're all piled up with each other. So we're going to get to that question in a second. But the Mishnah Berurah, he's arguing, now this is his argument right now, the Mishnah Berurah is saying that it's not borer because they're not mixed, and unless you have mixtures, you can't have borer. In our situation too, he says, when it's to the other things, you don't have a mixture either, because each scroll of Navi is its own scroll. It's just that to get to the one that you want, you have to push aside other things. The other things that pushing aside other things that have their own independent standing and status, and they're not a mixture in that sense, cannot count as borer, even should we expand the definition of borer beyond food items. To support that point, or to add to that point, he notes that the Mishnah Berurah himself, in another part of the Mishnah Berurah, which is called the Biur Halacha, and the Biur Halacha, which explains certain halachot at greater length, he says, let's say you have a plate of food now. Now we're talking about food. You have one kind of food on top and one kind of food on bottom, but they're separate, they're completely separate layers. Let's say somebody gave me a steak, and on top of the steak they put a kugel. Right, a piece of potato kugel, and they're one on top of the other. And the kugel is on top, and I don't want the kugel. I don't like potato kugel. I want steak. So I have to move the top food to get to the bottom food. Then Be'er Halacha said there's no issur there at all, not even a derabbanan, not even a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition, because they're separate, they're not mixed together, the two layers of food. So the two layers of food mean that I'm okay. So once again, it says, "Hare sifte kohen barur milavu," the lips of a kohen are very clear, helping us out to come to the conclusion that the Ezra thinks is the correct conclusion. I was just struck by the fact that he found two important achronim in the generation, or two generations ahead of him. The Ezra was born in 1916. The Chafetz Chaim, that means he was still around when the Chafetz Chaim was alive, because Chafetz Chaim lived a remarkably long life, lived into his 90s. So the Ezra was 17, 18 years old, I think, when the Chafetz Chaim passed away. But they're really a generation, they're really probably two generations ahead of him. Both of them, kohanim, writing important material for this question. The prohibition of borer is only when the items are mixed together. If they're not mixed together, there's no borer. Another place for leniency, and this wouldn't apply to silverware, that you want to put in their proper places. There are people today who will argue that, and I think on these issues I want to mention that I think that there's being more makil, more lenient than many people today. I think that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and his advice to Rav Neuwirth, who was writing the Shmiras Shabbos Gilchot, who was his own great Talmud, important Talmud Chacham as well. I think the Shmiras Shabbos is more machmir on these border issues than the stance being taken in the Tzitzit Ezra. I'm just taking the response that I found, and I think I was struck and interested in his leniencies. So he also argues that if after you take out whatever item you're looking for, the other stuff remains completely jumbled together, that too would not be an act of Breira then. Because brera involves some kind of preparing food or items for later use. Here, you're getting the one item you want and you're using it, and so. But along the rich, and that would have been fine. Meaning, if I knew, and everybody agrees that if I could tell easily which was mine and reach in and pull out mine, so that's not. Then you're not being brera psolit mina ochel. You haven't taken away the bad from the good. You're just taking the good out. Everybody agrees taking the good out is fine. And the problem is that you, along the way, we worry and we think you're going to push aside the bad. That's not an act of brera, though, unless when you push aside the bad, you separate it out of the mixture, such that in the future, nobody will have to worry about that bad stuff being a part of the mixture. But in the case of the Navi scrolls, you reach in, you find the Navi scroll, and it's, Yehoshua. When you want to malachim, you put it back into the mixture. It's not like it's changing anything, and therefore, there's also reason to say that there's no brera there. Aside from that, the whole topic of books is not clear at all that Breira apply is extended to them. If you look in the Taz and the other Achronim, they talk about kelim, pots, pads, silverware, things like that. They talk about clothing, right, as we've spoken about. They talk about books. Now, why would you not talk about books? Because books, you could say, are even more, are even less mixed in, because books have their very separate reality. Meaning, even if you are going to argue that clothing on hangers in a closet are nonetheless mixed together, or clothing in a drawer even more so are nonetheless mixed together because it's all one big jumble, but books, they're all their own separate thing. It's a separate book. Sure, they're on a shelf. They're not mixed on a shelf. They're steady next to each other on a shelf. So that's a whole another extension of the problem of Borer. So he says, none of those Achronim spoke about books. It's just that there's a sefer, a commentary on a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is an abbreviation of the Shulchan Aruch. It's a newer version of the Shulchan Aruch, and I think it's relatively machmir. And then a sefer called Mizgeret HaShulchan came along, and he was a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes a certain review to labors, the Abbez in a Piask, who said, I think Tzfarim should include it as well, because why is that not a border issue? And the Aruch HaShulchan does mention that, but the Aruch HaShulchan mentions it. Remember, the Aruch HaShulchan is a contemporary of the Chafetz Chaim, right? So it's a halacha sefer on much more of Shulchan Aruch than the Chafetz Chaim got around to. It was a well important, accepted important postik in the early 1900s. When he mentions the idea that it might apply to Tzfarim, he mentions it as an example. It's the kind of thing, he says, where if you don't know the definitions properly well enough, then you can be led to all sorts of extensions that make no sense, meaning he doesn't think that it should apply to Svarim at all. And he points out in Shimon Yutet, he says that it ends up being how you've got, when you have silverware mixed together, he mentions flatware, flatware, silverware mixed together, where you have a lot of clothing hanging up. And so the Aruch HaShulchan comes and he writes that anything where it's fairly noticeable, fairly recognizable that it's separate, then there's no idea of borer. So then you might say, well, what about two kinds of fruits, two kinds of foods? We say those are mixed together, even though you can tell one from the other. The answer is that it's when they're so, when they're small and there's a lot of it, that's going to have to be borer. Meaning, if I'm going to go through, as I've had a challenge to do, and you can't do it, if I have a salad that somebody made with red onions, why anybody would make a salad with red onions, I have no idea, but people seem to do it. So, and I am eating it, so there's going to be lots of pieces, especially if they sliced up the red onions, there's going to be lots and lots of pieces of red onions. That's a question of borer, because it's so thoroughly mixed in. But you have things, that's why before, when my tongue slipped, and I mentioned the example of peaches and nectarines. I think there are people today who will claim that, with, and I think maybe Shmuel Shabbos agrees, that you have large fruits, so then their existence is so independent, it's not actually seen as the kind of a mixture that you have a problem with. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is talking about here. You might say when it comes to fruit, isn't the same thing? The answer is no, we're talking about small fruit, and there's so much of them that that's considered borer. And then the second piece that the Aruch HaShulchan adds in is that it's also true that in eating, while you're not allowed to separate a mixture just for the separation, you're allowed to take the ochel mitoch hapsolet. You're allowed to take that thing which you want to eat and to leave behind the psolet, the stuff that you don't want, and that's at the moment of eating, right? You're not allowed to prepare it that way. You're allowed to eat it that way. So that would apply if you're looking for a particular sefer or you're getting a particular piece of clothing. If you can take the clothing that you want out, so that would be easy to do. And that would be the same thing of if you want to get a sefer off of a shelf, you get the sefer that you want. Now, the second answer, this is a point, the second answer does seem to agree that there is an idea of borer. It's just that since you need it right now, you can do it in the way that it's allowed to do with food as well. That's a much more restricted heter, more restricted permissibility. Now, there's another tshuva, a guy named Maher Shag, who we've seen before, and that's Tiliezer, quotes him and has the sefer, but he notes, he quotes him at length here, and then he says, I quoted him at length because a lot of people don't have the sefer. He held that anything that you would also tend to jumble together after you've used it doesn't count as borer either. So his example was, let's say you get money for an appeal on Shabbos, and so people, you know, take pre-printed notes, and they'll fold over their promise, their donation, their commitment, their pledge, right? So you want to see who said what. So is that a borer problem? So he said, well, it can't be a borer problem because after you've seen it, you'll mix them all together again. So since you are happy to mix them together, even though you'll need to separate them out when you need to separate them out, but if you mix them together when you don't, then you don't care about their mixing, so that also would not be a borer problem. Along the way there, this is what this quotes it, he says, to prove it, I can show you, we've never heard of anybody who says that if you have a bunch of svarim, a bunch of books of different kinds, there's any issue of borer there, because books are the kind of thing that you mix together, and you don't keep them separate, well separated from each other, when you just mix them together. And then he writes, and there's a quote this at length again, because no people have the book. Then he writes, L'dati, L'akar shasvara tova unichona, since this is just so clear logically, ain't a klal l'raya mitok divrei hash'as v'rishonim. I don't even need to find Gemara's Rishonim to support my view about this idea of Borah, because it's so obvious about the idea of Borah. Now, and then later on in that same Sefer, in Siman Dalid, he says about some other issue, but he says, this idea that I had doesn't need any proof, as we say in the Gemara on certain occasions, Sivara hu lama likra. The Gemara will occasionally wonder why the Gemara itself cited a verse to prove a point. It'll say, it's so obvious, so logically clear, why do you need a pasuk? Then it'll give some reason that you need a pasuk. So I think that's a very important, interesting question. It is true the Gemara says that, and it assumes that there's such a thing as an innate, obvious logic. And I live in a time when I am not as convinced that that should be as true. It becomes a problematic question. Is what considered obviously innately logical? You get this question, let's say you talk about Mishpatim, often not always, the Ramban and Chumash seems to think of anything else, but often the definition of Mishpat is given as the halacha, as a law that we would understand intuitively on our own and make intuitively our own. Like, let's say that people shouldn't steal from each other. I certainly recognize that there are such things, but I think they're much more restricted. There are many fewer of them than we tend to think, because we live in a time where we can see people take radically different positions from each other on issues and seem to think that their position is completely, obviously, clearly rational and logical. So that whole idea of completely obviously, clearly, is what is an interesting to one to me. The Rasha, whom Stiller is quoting, thought that at least when it came to understanding Borer, if you had a basic understanding of the Gemara and the Rishonim, you'd seen things, it would be very clear that Borer doesn't extend to this thing. Back in the Rasha, he has another comment that I think is an interesting cultural comment. He says, and also I have a great proof, Mimina Golam, from the practice of Jews throughout the generations, the Lo Shamanu Me'olam, we've never heard that anybody wants to get their clothing and they have to have an issue with worry about Borer. We've never heard of such a thing. The guy who wrote it was Gerard HaShulchan, found the new Chumrah, and he came up with the new Chumrah. So the Tzitzit now comments, and I quoted him at length, and I obviously have, as I always do, cut out many parts of these things to make sure that these responsa can be communicated in the brief time that we have together, and I hope that I don't do injustices to the original Mishivim when I do it. I think I don't, but I hope I don't. He says, this is not a sefer that's found commonly, v'dvarav kilorim la'inayim. And the things that he's saying are so clear and so well put that I wanted to make sure you had them. But that again, so when do we trust minhag olam? I think that I have certainly seen communities, I've lived in communities, where the practice of the people in that community would not, to me, give any proof whatsoever of the nature of halacha, of the nature of what the Torah really says, what Chazal really said, because sadly, the people in that community just don't know enough. So theoretically, and I certainly can imagine and know of halacha that you suggest to people, they say, we've never heard anybody who follows that halacha. That can't be a real halacha. And sometimes, sadly, it is a real halacha, even though nobody that they knew has ever kept it. So that, again, is another example of these kinds of complicated, problematic issues. But that's the position of the Rashag, is that it's very clear to him and obvious. Now, that Stiers has given us some textual proofs. Textual proofs are always much better, right? One textual proof is the argument from silence. The fact that if you look in Chazal, all the way through the time of the Shulchan Aruch, we don't see anything except for that one Gemara about making barrels, making containers. We don't see anything that refers to Rashi's reading of that Gemara. We don't see anything that refers to Bereira, to the problem of Borer outside of the realm of food. So that's a good argument from silence. Arguments from silence are never clinching, but it's a good argument from silence. So there are arguments for it. But the Rashag thought just that it's just so clear. And then he argued also based on the fact that you never heard of anybody doing this. Last point that the Tzidkezer offers is also an asmachta lidvaram, a support. An asmachta in the Gemara is about when you're not having a firm proof from a text, but you have a support from a text. You have a shut in halachot ketanot, that's what it's called, shut halachot ketanot by the Mari Chagiz, who also said that when you're not sure how halacha looks, go look at what Jews do. And says, ki pashutu asher be'avat Hashem en mo Yisrael, it's very clear that part of Hashem's love for the Jewish people, yasir michshol midarcheihem, that Hashem will in some way prevent them from making huge errors, and therefore if you see the common Jewish practice, that's got to be the correct practice, or it's got to be at least some big help to that. So once again, I'm not sure when and where that does or doesn't apply. I think there are Jewish communities that you can look at their common practice, and big Jewish communities, and realize there are certainly would seem to be deep, and I don't mean like they don't know this Qumrah that's found in this Akron that nobody knew about. I mean that you can find deep problems with it. But that's the conclusion, that's the idea that's at play here at the end of this response of the Eliezer, which leads him to say that you don't have to have any worry about Borer in this issue. Borer is not a relevant consideration, it's not a relevant concern, and therefore you don't have to pay attention to it. So that is a response of the day for the ninth day of Tevet, that's Eliezer on Borer regarding the scrolls of Navi and books in general and clothing in general and non-food items in general. Response from part 12, response from 35. With thanks to the OU, Rabbi Jacob Romitz and David Achauser, I bid you a good day.